right. Welcome, 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 everyone, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between. This is Tony's Political Ramblings. And today I thought I would talk about something that is particularly relevant, I would say, to pretty much everyone involved, any listener I could imagine, and that is the topic of finance and budgeting. As many of us have to deal with a personal budget, debt, a sort of personal limit on loans and debts that we are interested in taking out, and sort of managing our own money and allocating money to particular areas of our lives. And the federal government is very much like us in that sense, where they have to do the same thing. Each year, Congress draws up an annual budget for the federal government, and that will basically decide where taxpayer dollars will go to fund different agencies so that they are able to perform their jobs. X number of dollars will go to the IRS, X number of dollars will go to the EPA, et cetera, until you work your way through all of the federal agencies, departments, boards, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's generally how that works. And in conjunction to that, there is this this piece of the debt ceiling. And that basically says how much money can Congress borrow when doling out funds for the different agencies. And as many of you are well aware, the United States has been operating in a deficit for a very long time now. Most of my life, and we've been in the red for a while as a nation. So at the time of recording, it's sitting in the neighborhood of $28 trillion. That's from U.S. debtclock.org. It's a rolling number, so it always is fluctuating and changing, but that's generally where it sits right now. So it's not always been that way, as a matter of fact. While it's been relatively rare, since 1970, there's been 3 years where we have operated under a budget surplus, and those were during the last 3 years of former President Bill Clinton's term. Those are from 1998 up until 2001, when President George W. Bush took over. And like I said, that was the only time since 1970 where there was a budget surplus. We were in the black, as it were, as a nation in terms of our federal agencies. That's what the budget applies to. It applies to the money that goes into federal agencies and how they are able to operate. And so this isn't terribly surprising, because even though President Clinton was a Democrat, he was very much influenced by the political world that he stepped into in the 90s when he was, in the late 80s, early 90s, when he was running for president. And that was the world of austerity measures put in place by Republicans and sort of slashing government budgets and making things lean and efficient on the federal level. And so while the budget was not slashed to the same extent that many Republicans were pushing for, not the budget, sorry, but while government spending was not slashed in the same level that Republicans were pushing for under the Clinton administration, there were cuts. They weren't as dramatic, but this was certainly not a situation where more money was being poured into the government as in the same way that it was in the 1930s and 40s during FDR's term. And so the fact that we were able to hit a surplus in the late 90s was not terribly surprising to me for that reason. But we've been in debt for a while in terms of the federal government, and that number is constantly increasing. So because of that, the U.S. government has set a debt ceiling as well. And like I said, that's the upper limit that Congress is able to pull from in order to borrow from in order to pay for the federal agencies' operation and functioning. And so basically, like, the Congress cannot pull more money than is in the debt ceiling. It's just not possible. You get the picture. That debt ceiling, as time has gone on, has been increased. There since 1960, so this is a long, long time ago, but since 1960, it's been raised 78 times. And that is according to the U.S. Department of the Treasury. So that's a pretty accurate number. But at any rate, these are very, very regular activities that happen in Congress. You have the annual budget. Obviously, that happens once a year. And you have the debt ceiling, which has happened quite often since 1960. But it's something, again, that's fairly regular, and the U.S. does a lot because it kind of needs to do it in order not to default on its loans that it takes out. And so why is that relevant now? Why am I bringing this up? And the reason for that is that there's, like many things in... like many debates at this current stage, things have been made partisan. A partisan issue of even the most basic functions of Congress, that's including drafting up a budget and releasing a budget, as well as raising the debt ceiling. And so currently you have Republicans in Congress who do not want to raise the debt ceiling, and they do not want to approve an increase in a budget for this particular year. And so what are the consequences of that? The first and most obvious one that many people are familiar with is the not coming to a consensus on the budget. And that creates what people generally call a federal government shutdown. And while it is a shutdown of some things, it's not truly a shutdown. In particular, I will use the example of the Federal Aviation Administration and their air traffic control part of that agency, that administration. The air traffic controllers, who are federal employees, do not stop working. They keep working, but they just don't get paid until the shutdown, air quotes, is over. So even though there is this shutdown in place, it's not really a proper shutdown. If the government actually shut down, things would be a lot more disastrous. And that has been a tool that's been leveraged by, again, mostly Republican congressional leaders over the last 10, 15 years. And it's been a way, in the past, few decades. And it's been a tool that, again, has been used by Republicans primarily, and almost exclusively, I want to say, in order to negotiate, if you will. But in effect, you just ended up holding the country hostage and making the federal government unable to provide some of its most basic functions. So that's the consequence of not coming to a consensus on the budget. And what would be the consequence of not coming to a consensus on raising the debt ceiling, which again has happened 78 times since 1960. This is not a crazy idea. This is not something that's unusual. In fact, during the Republican-led Senate during the former President Trump's administration, the debt ceiling was raised three times in 4 years. That's pretty significant. This is not an irregular activity. This is not something that happens rarely or from time to time or some gigantic spending spree. The Reagan administration in the 1980s raised it 18 times in 8 years. And so this is not something that is exclusively a Democrat thing or a Republican thing. This is something that happens across the board. But what are the consequences of that? Well, we don't really know because it hasn't happened yet. For good reason, because they'd be quite disastrous. And only the worst could come of a situation like that. And so in that we can only speculate And we have the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, saying that, quote, it could trigger a spike in interest rates, a steep drop in stock prices, and other financial turmoil. Our current economic recovery would reverse into a recession with billions of dollars of growth and millions of jobs lost. And so, yeah, it's a disastrous situation that could be in waiting for the United States if Republicans do not agree to raise the debt ceiling. Do I think personally that this would happen? No, I don't think they would actually go through with it. Because again, it would be very disastrous for everyone involved. But the fact that Republicans are playing with fire in this way is really, again, when you put it in the context of that they are federally, they are democratically elected officials who act in the best interest of their constituents, that claim just seems really disingenuous. If they are playing with not only shutting down parts of the federal government again, but having the U.S. default on its loan payments, on its loans, just even playing with that idea is really a dangerous thing to do. And it's something that, again, the fact that this is being politicized and made a partisan affair is really not a good thing. So, again, do I think that anything concrete, policy-wise, in terms of the budget and the debt ceiling, is going to come of this? Probably not. But the threat of not only a partial government shutdown, but the U.S. defaulting on its payments, that's the threat of that is a bit too much to rest easy on. And so I think, not only for the Democrats in Congress to, I think that they should pursue any sort of means necessary to get the debt ceiling raised and to pass a budget, but also listeners in the public ought to really consider who they vote for before they give them, before they give their senators and representatives the checkbook to the United States government.